Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Kemp, Texas, and online our Becker and United Methodist United Methodist Church combined worship on our online feed through our Facebook page. I appreciate everyone coming out. I think I forgot to turn on my microphone. Is that better? I thought so. Okay. Welcome again. Our birthdays and anniversaries are listed there. Cindy had one on the 2nd. Silas has his had his on the 5th as well. And then Sandy's is tomorrow. And Lucinda is there on Tuesday. Hi, Lucinda. Happy birthday. We will sing that for you in just 1 second. We also have an after worship event of our church council meeting. I don't expect it to last too long. We won't be televising that one, though, but we will publish all the minutes for those of you who want to be connected. Just a couple of quick agenda items on that, and I think some more important items about trying to plan out the rest of the year with regard to how we're going to start up school, how we're going to deal with COVID into the fall, and what programs we still want to continue to try to plan for. So I think that's one of our bigger issues, and we will get into all that. So if you have some thoughts on that and would like to participate, please do show up here at noon or a little before, and we will get started after our worship service. Any other announcements that I'm forgetting? Anyone? Wow, I'm pretty good today. All right, well, great. If nothing else, let's sing Happy Birthday to Lucinda, and then we can begin with our centering words after that. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God loves you. Happy birthday to you. Many more. You think after 3 years I'd know, is it God bless you, God loves you? Connor threw me off this morning. Not his fault. I should know. But thank you for being here. And again, happy birthday to you, Miss Sandy, for tomorrow if you're online listening or when you get to listen to this. That song goes for you too. All right. Anyone else? I'm sorry. Please stand as you're able. Join me in our centering for our centering words, and we'll continue with our call to worship. God can turn even our worst moments into possibilities for good. God can transform even our worst experiences into opportunities for grace. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's holy name. Rejoice in the Lord. God fills our hearts with joy. Give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim God's mighty works. Rejoice in the Lord. God's miracles are a wonder to behold. Give thanks to the Lord, trust in God's salvation. Rejoice in the Lord, God turns our failings into glory. You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson comes from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4, and then continuing with 12 through 28. 1 through 4, 12 through 28 of chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. Hear now the word of God. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other children because he was the son of his old age. And he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Continuing with verse 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them. He answered, Here I am. So he said to him, Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me. So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem and found a man, and a man found him wandering in the fields. And the man asked, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers." He said, "Tell me, please, where where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore. And they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Praise be to God indeed. And if you'll stand for our opening prayer. Eternal God, you visit us in dreams, offering us glimpses of new possibilities. Rescue us from life's storms and lift us from the raging waters. Be with us now as we call on your name. Reveal your purposes for our world that we may be used in service. Bless us with the courage to spread your word that it may be said to us, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. It's in the back of your hymnal, is number 881. I know you don't have it, but I printed it right there in the bulletin for you, but most of you probably have it memorized.
I still read it, personally. But
if you would like to follow along, please join us. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." In our Gloria Patri.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Be seated. Are we the children's time?
Oh, yes, be seated for the epistle reading. Excuse me. Romans, we'll be reading our next reading comes from Romans 10, verses 5 through 15.
Romans 10, 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with the mouth and is so saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. Now it's children's time. As Kim's coming up, I will be stepping back. Oh.
Good morning, friends and family. So, I want to talk to you guys today about change and transition, because today we were telling Mia on the way here it's the last week of summer, wah wah, and she's gonna have to wake up before 10 a.m. next week. It's gonna be hard, so we have to start practicing and not staying up till midnight and all the things because school's starting, and we're getting ready for Connor to move into his dorm, so we're buying things and doing an inventory of what we need and telling him about his transition and all the things that we're gonna change at our house. And I can't wait to get a workout room and change his bedroom over. And you know, there's just a lot of change going on with the virus and working from home and your family's being there all the time. And man, we're remodeling our house and we're having to get new carpet, which means you gotta take everything out. So Mia and I went through all her stuff and she's given away a lot of her toys because she's growing up and doesn't need them anymore. So it's just so much change right now. And I know that everybody's going through that. And we're about to start school and we're about to start the fall and hopefully cooler weather and all these things. And so I wanted to just share with you guys to remember that God is with us all the time, even through all of these changes. And we're all going through it. It's a weird time in the world that everybody is going through these things at the same time. So just remember that God is with you no matter what. And you can pray just like the people in the Bible. And every time Jesus went through a transition, the first thing that he did before he had to go on a new adventure was to stop and to pray and to say thank you to God and just have a conversation with God. So remember that. Before school starts, say, hey, God, I really would like to have a nice school year this year. Please be with me. Or, hey, God, my parents are going to be home. Please help me to be with them and for us not to get angry at each other. Just pray for all these new changes that are coming up and all these new adventures that we can go on with God. So let's say a prayer. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we thank you for your wisdom to know that we are here and that you got us. Help us to remember that we can rely on that wisdom and lean on you through all the changes that we're making these next couple of weeks. Help us to remember to pray and to lean on you whenever we need it, and to remember that you're always there to help guide us through our next adventure. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Kim.
Thank you. Our passage today for our message comes from Matthew. It is Matthew 14, 22 to 33. This one I do have marked, contrary to popular belief. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong winds, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" But when they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. I really like this passage. It's very dramatic, right? The scene that Matthew is laying out for us, it starts out kind of quiet and almost peaceful. You know, Jesus is sending it forth to the disciples on the boat. He dismisses the crowds, and then he takes a moment to go up the mountain and pray. And as he's doing that, he turns his time to prayer. And if we remember, last week the scripture was, Jesus had got in the boat to get away from the crowds after he'd heard or learned of the death of John the Baptist. And he was looking for that moment of peace and quiet that he could go and do some prayer time and spend some time with God. And what happened is when he gets to shore, those crowds were there. And then we had that feeding of the 5,000 miracle that we saw. Well, this week we have another miracle, right? Jesus is walking on, I don't know if it's a miracle, but it's quite miraculous to see somebody walking on water. And Jesus is doing this, and what it is after he has that time, you know, he realizes, or he then sees that the boat is still far from shore. It is in the midst of the storms of life, if you will. They cannot make headway against the wind. It's being battered by the waves, and then it's in those early morning hours, and what you have to understand about the early morning hours, it's written that way in NRSV, I think, early morning. This is like really early morning, like pre-sunrise early morning, 3 to 6 a.m. kind of morning. So not real bright out. And so when they see this figure coming to them on the water in the middle of this storm or this windy, this, I guess it's a storm, it's a windy situation, they don't recognize it as Jesus, and they think he's a ghost. And they they're terrified and they cry out. And so when Jesus hears them, he immediately calms them by saying, or responds by saying, you know, "Have no fear, it is I. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then, you know, so we think, oh, that's going to kind of be the climax of it all, Jesus walking on water. But then it gets a little better. We'd be wrong if we thought that was the end of it, right? It gets a little better because Peter's needing a little more convincing, like many of us often find ourselves in need of a little more convincing. And he says, "You know, if it's you, Lord, command me to come out to you, and I'll do that." So Jesus says, "Come." Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water towards Jesus. And as he comes to Jesus, he gets distracted, right? Jesus had called his bluff, and so Peter's out on the boat. And as he's walking out there, he gets distracted by that strong wind. He gets distracted from Jesus, and that fear again sets in. That fear that we often find ourselves when we're, you know, with us, I should say, when we're in those storms of life. And
And Peter is in the middle of one right now because he has opened his mouth up and said, I will come out here on that water to you. And Jesus calls his bluff and says, well, bring it. And so Peter's in the middle of it all, and then he's noticing, what am I doing out here on the water? And he begins to sink, right? And I wondered why, for me, and I think you guys too can pick up on this, why are we so easily distracted when it comes to our faith especially, right? So this weekend I had an opportunity to play some golf, and I'm excited about this golf story because I was with some friends of mine, and much to my surprise, and the surprise of the people I was playing with who know my golf game, actually they know it pretty well, I was actually playing pretty well. Let me say this. Let me get a disclaimer in real quick. When I say playing well, that's defined here as it didn't look like every shot that the PGA Tour Pro makes, right? But my score was a good score. I was scoring well on every hole. I had the fewer number of shots than I normally do, and I was really enjoying myself. And as we made our way around the course, and I was riding with one of my friends, and we're having this really good time and laughing about a lot of different things. And as we're approaching one of the greens, we see this squirrel come running along to run up the tree. And we both yell out, oh, squirrel, you know, like the movie. Was it Up, I think, where the dog's squirrel? And we start laughing about that. And then right there is where I'll say it kind of started right there for me. It all kind of started going downhill. Because when we turned onto the back nine, my score or my shot selection or my ability to play golf went right back to my real ability to play golf, like terrible kind of golf. And my score started going the wrong direction really quick. And it was, I don't want to say it was the squirrel's fault. I'm not blaming the squirrel here. But what I am blaming is myself for not staying focused, right? I was out there having a good time, that's fine. But the focus of the day was to actually play some golf and try to play well. And I started getting some big numbers on my scorecard, and that was problematic for me on the back. And I didn't feel as fun and free and easy as I had felt when we were making our way around the front nine. And it was a reminder for me right there that it was just like that. It got me to thinking about how my faith is that way as well, right? Like where I can be cruising along, everything's so wonderful in my faith journey, my family's life, whatever it may be, and then I get distracted, right? Just like when Peter gets out of the boat in our narrative, everything that starts out fine for him, but then he's distracted. You know, nothing changed before Peter stepped out of the boat, right? He's in the boat. There's heavy winds. Waves are battering the boat. Jesus commands him to come. He asks, if that's you, tell me to come, and I'm coming. So Jesus says, come on. And it's not like the wind died right there or the waves went away. None of that happened. But Peter jumps out of the boat anyway and starts walking on the water. And I think for us, that's how it is for us, right? Like, nothing's changed in our life when we have Jesus or we don't have Jesus, or we're not focused on Jesus or we are focused on him, or our faith, nothing changes. But that same instant, once we get distracted, then we start realizing everything that's going on around us. When we keep our focus on God and we keep our focus on our relationship with Christ, life may still be the storm, right? We may still be in the boat getting thrown around by the waves and the wind. We may even get out on the water. It's not until we become distracted by what's around us, what's going on around us, that we realize what the chaos of our lives may really be in, right? That chaos that the things that we think we can control, which are really never in our control. And so as Peter is getting out there, and it's not, you know, any fault of his own, right? The wind was blowing, and I don't fault Peter for trying, right? We applaud the effort that Peter makes to get out of the boat. We admire his effort.
What we also do is we also see how much we too are like those early disciples. Many times in our own lives, as we're cruising along and we're in that boat in the midst of one of life's storms, we are full of fear and uncertainty. You know, Kim had mentioned that we're doing some things around our house, and I mentioned it in previous weeks. The purpose of all the updates and upgrades, and no, I wouldn't even call them upgrades, just maintenance that we're doing on our house,
is because we're being distracted by not really a life storm, but this
seems to be ongoing problem of
having to relocate.
And it is one of those things where we're kind of got some fear and then some uncertainty in where we're going to be and what we're going to do and how we're going to continue to serve God and in what capacity. And yet, we're easily distracted sometimes in those moments too, in those discussions where we're not thinking about Christ, right? We're not thinking about that relationship. And that fear gets a little greater and that uncertainty becomes a little more relevant in the discussion. And then we'll kind of go down that path for a minute, and then, like Peter, we'll almost have that crying out in a moment when we start sinking into that unknown and that chaos. We'll cry out, you know, Lord, save me. And just like that, our discussion gets redirected back to what can we control right now? What can we do today to either move us further towards that goal or that reality? Not that it's necessarily our goal, but it is what is our reality. And then how do we then take care of what needs to be taken care of right now? And when we get back focused on those things, it's like when we refocus our attention on Christ. The storms go on around us. The boat is being battered. As a body of believers, we are here in this community, and we do things to try to provide outreach and caring for those around us. And those people who come to us, their lives might be in the middle of those storms. We're hoping that when we bring them into the boat with us, that the winds cease, right? We're hoping that God shows up and the winds cease, and that they can then realize who it is that we serve and why we serve. Because when we're in those storms and that uncertainty, we're just looking for a sign to guide us, right? We're looking for Jesus to come walking on the water to save us. And once he's there and we commit to walking with Jesus, even when that happens, we too still get easily distracted by the squirrels that are running along and climbing trees. We lose focus and we start thinking again, right? We start sinking again. We get caught up in the things that we don't feel are going our way. Where we feel like we've been taken advantage of or misunderstood or even misrepresented. And we just want to, think, why can't things be simple, right? Like, one of the things we talk about when I'm playing golf with these my friends is just keeping it simple, right? You see ball, hit ball, retrieve ball out of a cup, repeat. Like, that's all you're wanting to do is just hit the ball and put it in the cup and go pick it up and then go to the next hole and do the same thing in as few strokes as possible, right? But life is not like that, right? And neither is a game of golf. But life is not simple like that. Life is messy, especially when we consider a life that interacts with others, right? When we interact with others around us, with those either online here or even here in the present, in the worship center here. When we're interacting with others, life can get messy, and it does get messy. And as members of the body of Christ, that's exactly what we're called to do, right? We're called to serve others. We're called to interact with others. We're called to care for others, to do for others, to love God and love others. And when you're doing that, life is messy because we're not the same person, right? We're not dealing with the same person. And they too, right? we're doing all these things so that they too may come to know God, that they may love God, and that they may love others. That's the whole purpose. See ball, hit ball, repeat kind of thing. Same thing with our faith, right? We just want to be able to share it with others that they may repeat that process for others. And but when we get distracted from this goal, right, this simpleness and focus of what our faith journey should be or we're called to do, our lives become a little too overwhelming again, right? And we might start sinking again. And we too can call out like Peter, and Jesus is there immediately to reach out with his hand and catch us. Pull us back into the boat. Calm the winds of the storms in our life situation and remind us that we are loved, that we have God's grace, and that this too shall pass. This moment, this situation, this storm that we are in shall pass. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to our time of pastoral prayer, and I sent those out and got the updates done for this week. If there were any that needed to be updated or changed, if I got them wrong, please let me know. But I think I got all the ones offline as well as the ones that were mentioned, which was really just a joy I think Deb had for her granddaughter turning 3, right? That was the only joy or concern. Okay. So anyway, are there any joys or concerns we'd like to bring up this week? L-A-N-E, Lane, okay. Yes?
We had Romy Adams and family. She lost her daughter in a car
Lost her daughter, you said. Any others?
Pray for the teachers that are getting ready to start school next week.
Yes. Teachers, kids, administration, maintenance. About to get real busy for a lot of folks. So, yeah, we want them all to be safe. Any others? All right, let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the blessings that you give us. We thank you for this opportunity that we have now to come in and together and pray. This moment where we see from our example in Christ that he goes on the mountaintop. Lord, we come to this mountaintop in a way of seeking and speaking to you in a way that we can do that directly because of the sacrifice of Christ, and that you have given us your Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us, that we may have this conduit, this intercession, that we may be able to speak to you openly, candidly, and honestly in a way that really it just brings us closer to you. It allows us to be focused on you and what you have for us. Lord, we know that many people in this world are hurting. There are people on our lists, our weekly prayer concerns, that are hurting. They are in need of healing. They are in need of comfort. Father, they're in need of peace. And Lord, we just want to lift up all those concerns to you. We have new concerns, and Lord, we just know that when we turn these over to you, when we give these names to you, Lord, that you know exactly what needs to be done. And we trust in you that you will provide for the needs. You'll provide the answers. You'll do what you do so faithfully, Lord, and we will be able to see your great works. Father, there are many things that we are thankful for as well. We are thankful for this time of the year when schools begin to reopen, where we see the hustle and bustle of teachers as they prepare. And Lord, we just know in the light of what's going on with the pandemic, Lord, the school systems are going to be taxed this year. They're going to be stressed. And Lord, we just ask that you be with every person that's in those buildings, each and every classroom, each and every administrator, each and every maintenance worker, each and every coach, everybody who supports the school in any way, shape, or form. Lord, we just ask that you pour your blessings out upon them. Keep them safe. Keep them ready to serve, and keep them with you and close to you at all times. Lord, we know that the kids are excited, but they're also a little tentative as well. Father, we come to a time of year when students like my son, who are going to begin their college careers, Lord, we just lift them up to you. His cousin Benjamin, another name, Evan June, his college roommate. As these folks, these young adults get ready to go off and start focusing on the education that they now desire to have, the things that they want to do in life, Lord, we just ask that you bless that time together. Keep them safe as well. Those administrators, those teachers, those professionals that will be trying to teach them their skill sets and transferring that knowledge so that they can take the baton and carry it forth into the next. So, Father, we ask that you be with those kids that are going off to school, those young adults. Help them make good decisions in a way that allows them to experience life to the fullest as you would have them experience it. We ask these things and all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And we have come to our time of tithes and offerings. For those of you who are online and would like to send in your giving to Becker United Methodist Church, you send that to P.O. Box 92, Kemp, Texas, 75143. And for those of you who are here or also online and want to give to First UMC Kemp, that's at P.O. Box 327, 75143, as well as the PayPal account for First UMC Kemp is fumckemp@gmail.com. fumckemp@gmail.com. Let's bow for a word of prayer for our blessing, our giving this week. Lord, we ask that, Heavenly Father, we come to you. Let's start there. We just come to you humbly and gratefully, thankfully. And Lord, we just ask that you bless the offerings and the gifts that we return to you now. Father, we know that you can do so many things with the resources that you have provided to us. And as we are faithful in returning them to you, Lord, we can just see the many things that will come from the great works that you have in store for those resources. Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless them, multiply them, that they may be used throughout your kingdom work here and beyond. We ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Our doxology. You'll stand. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
closing hymn, or our only hymn, is My Hope is Built on page 3 of your handout or your bulletin, and number 368 in your hymnal if you have one at home.
Let's just sing the first and last with the chorus, if we will. And
So the first and last, first and fourth, and the chorus. All right.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My Lord,
He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found,
dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Our benediction. God blesses us with strength for the journey. Our hearts sing God's praises. Christ lifts us up from the raging waters of life. Our spirits rejoice in our salvation. The Spirit guides us with dreams full of hope and promise. Our lives rest secure in the One who is faithful. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Y'all have a great week.